I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Garrett was invited to speak at Princeton, going back to his college, class of 89, and it was kind of a faith-based interview series that they do there. And props to Bobby Belt, a football insider. Is this the Princeton theme music?
Yeah!
You see the jacket that Jason was wearing, the Princeton jacket?
Dude, Princeton's like... it's so old. Like, I don't think they've updated anything since, you know, 1830. But there's a ton of history there. I used to go to these games. I probably went to a Garrett game growing up when he was playing there. I don't remember him. I don't remember anything about it, really.
So this
bad
is,
football.
This is unfiltered, Jason, really. And he was talking about, you know, giving someone a taste of something. So he has, you know, so many different brothers and sisters. And his older brother would say, all right, guys, we're going to Princeton. This is when they were kids. And Jason's like, why the heck are we going to Princeton? And his older brother just wanted him to get a taste of the campus. You see the trees. You go sit in the lecture halls. You go to the football stadium. And all the kids are sitting there in awe saying, I want to come to a place like this someday. So I think these types of speeches and talks is where Jason Garrett keeps the Cowboys always playing hard. Jason, believe it or not, his greatest trait, in my opinion, is motivating. He's very meaningful in his speeches. With us, you know, he doesn't care about the media. He doesn't care about ever winning the press conference. He doesn't care whether we like him or not. But he puts a lot of thought into stories. He's a tremendous storyteller, I think. Bobby Belt sent this over. And this was Garrett speaking at Princeton a couple of weeks ago. And I pulled some of the clips. This first one is a longer clip, but it speaks to his philosophy. It speaks to something you probably grew up with that individual who drove you. Maybe you're still doing it today, keeping a high standard. Jason Garrett with a little coaching story while showing you a little bit more of his personality.
I rarely use the word hate, but the coaches that I literally hate in my life right now, that I have, like, you know, this... it's kind of a visceral reaction of the coaches who told me when I was young, oh, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're the best. And they were just allowing me to be mediocre. There's a guy here, Steve Verbit. And I'm going to tell an honest story about Verbs. Verbs is the DB coach here in the mid-80s. And all of my classmates, many of them were DBs. And they literally hated Steve Verbit. I mean, they despised him. This DB, he's the absolute worst. I hate the. I mean, it's all we talked about was how bad a guy Steve Verbit is. Okay? No, I'm serious. They had pictures of him, you know, on their. They would put pictures of Verbit's head all over the place to gig each other. The whole thing. They're best buddies with this guy to this day. Yeah. Because he got on them, the standard was high, he held them to a high standard. So at the time, maybe they didn't like him, but ultimately, he changed their lives. He put them on the right path, understanding what excellence is, how you strive for it each and every day. So the challenge that I have myself and for our coaches each day is, what's the standard here at the Dallas Cowboys? Right. And let's hold these guys to the highest standard in everything they do. How they sit in a meeting, how we walk through, how we practice, how you conduct yourself at lunch. Let's hold them to that standard. And let's be relentless coaches. Yeah. We're not their friends. Yeah. Okay, we're more like their parents. We're trying to shape them and mold them. They're like the tree. The tree's coming out of the ground. When it's a twig, it goes over here. Let's bend the twig back. Let's bend the twig back. Let's be relentless in doing that. Let's not be the ones who are patting them on the back all the time, tell them how great they are, and then letting them only be okay. Yeah. They might not like us now, but they're going to love us later. And I say this all the time. I had this coach, Norv Turner, who was my coach in Dallas. Yeah. And he's one of the great coaches in the NFL. And he was on me about everything. Get back quicker. Get the ball out of your hand. Throw it 6 inches in front. Why are you so late with the ball? Why are you reading it? I mean, every minute of every day. I fly all over the country, Brill and I do, to go to his kids' weddings to this day. because he wouldn't let me be okay. He was going to do everything he could to make me the best I could be. He believed in me enough to coach me to a high standard. And I think that's a big part of what our jobs are.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
I just love listening to Jason talk like that.
Yeah, his stories are great. His motivational skills are, to me, top notch. There's a fine line between being a guy like what he's trying to do, where you're pushing people, and being a guy who's threatening, right? It's like you're pushing to be better. We're not threatening you with your job, with your position. There's a quote: "Treat a man as he is; he'll remain as he is. Treat a man as he could be, and he'll become what he should be." And I think that's exactly what Jason's trying to do. That's his motivation. He is a master. He's a great motivator. He's a great people person. Whether or not he is a great X's and O's coach is a different story. That's not what we're talking about. It's about his ability. The reason he still is employed here is because his teams don't quit on him.
Yes.
And they don't quit on him because of stuff like this.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Jason, I don't know if you could get someone that recognizes or appreciates the title more and understands everything that comes with it, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Jason has always valued that, and I think this next story speaks to that. Detail, you're wearing the star now. You are representing Jerry Jones and the Jones family, and this is a little story of Jason and a lesson taught by his pops. Just think of the Dallas Cowboys standard when listening.
If you hit a home run or strike out, put the bat back in the bat rack the same way, independent of what the result is, and then get ready for the next opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he used to always talk about Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, one of the great baseball players of all time, he'd hit a home run, he'd trot, he'd have his head down, he'd come back, he wasn't showing up the pitcher, he would just come back and be a pro. And then similarly, if he struck out, he would have that same emotion and, okay, what do I need to do? And you know, fall down 7 times, get up 8, that's what life's about. We're going to have successes. We're going to have adversity. You keep coming back. You keep coming back with that same spirit. That's something that he tried to instill in all of us when we were growing up.
Details. That's what Jason is. It matters to Jason how your shirt is tucked in.
Of course it does.
And how you're sitting in the chair. And he's very, very on top of those things.
There's, you know, he has the viewpoint that Babe Loffenberg said this to us. Like, he's told me, you know, he dressed for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yeah.
These, and I guarantee you that that's something that he has talked with Jason about.
Everybody's joking now.
Jason has these little things that we may not think mean a dang thing, but to him, it does mean something. And whether or not it means anything to the players, I think it's just a respect factor. That's all it is. You know, are you willing to look the part? Whatever that part may be, are you willing to do it?
So in this discussion at Princeton, the professor brought up Jason Garrett's senior thesis project.
By the way, no socks in here. What was your what's your take on the no sock look?
You know, you got to go baby powder.
Yeah, you do. Got to.
My house looks like a coke den, with just baby powder everywhere.
Because your feet or your
nose.
I was thinking the other part.
Oh.
You got to do that.
Oh, the feet and the and where the sun don't shine.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh.
This was Jason Garrett's thesis. The revolt of the black athlete as initiated by Harry Edwards, its impact on the civil rights movement during the 1960s. That's what Jason Garrett wrote on.
Wow, that's deep.
It was a Sports Illustrated piece on the famous Yale football team. And this Yale football team went undefeated, but he's going through Harry Edwards. You remember Harry Edwards has forever been featured with political, social, race issues, like a sports psychologist, I believe based out of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. USC.
Cal. So Jason Garrett read this Sports Illustrated piece, and that moved him to do his Princeton thesis, which he didn't want his final grade revealed in front of everybody, on this subject. So he applied that to today and his quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott. So Jason was asked about his thoughts on that paper, on that project, and what it means today.
I had this interaction with a member of the media towards the end of our season. We actually just won a playoff game. We beat the Seahawks. And the Seahawks quarterback is this guy named Russell Wilson, who's a great player. And our quarterback is Dak Prescott, both African-American quarterbacks. And this guy who I've known forever, he's a very accomplished writer, follows me out of the locker room. And he said, Coach, I'm doing something. I want to visit with you about an article I'm doing. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, absolutely. He says, I want to talk to you about, you know, where the black quarterback is in the NFL. And I looked at him. It was just the most honest answer I could give. I said, are we really still talking about that?
It's the one and only Mike Fisher.
I don't look at Dak Prescott as a black quarterback. I don't look at Russell Wilson as a black quarterback. They're quarterbacks, and they're damn good ones. And we're lucky to have them. I mean, are we really still having that conversation? To me, it's a meritocracy. Let's pick the best guys. I don't care where you came from, what you look like, whatever. Who are the guys who are going to make our team the best? So as you work through some of these very challenging racial issues that are real, it's real. Justin Durant's story is real. One of the great things about sports is it's based on the merits. It doesn't matter that this guy's black, this guy's white, this guy came from here, this guy came from there. At the end of the day, it's a pretty level playing field based on what you do. And that's something we preach to our guys all the time. First round pick, college free agent, the only thing that matters is what you do now. And so I do think that's a really powerful thing about sports. It's very positive for our society as well.
I don't believe that was Fish that he had the conversation with, because he did say accomplished writer. So I don't think that was Fish. But
Fish would say the black quarterback is not a new thing either. Not exclusive.
Right. So we say this is Troy's favorite clip. This may be the most powerful one. Garrett was asked about dealing with the anthem stuff. Now, if you remember, the Cowboys had the was it a Monday night game? I know it was primetime. I believe
it was in Arizona.
Monday night in Arizona. This is when they all decided to kneel and then stand up for the anthem. Okay. You remember Justin Durant?
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Justin Durant, we all remember him as a linebacker here.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. This is Jason Garrett talking about Justin Durant, the anthem issue, after what happened in Arizona and the whole topic with Colin Kaepernick.
The game was in Arizona. We had this player on our team. Name is Justin Durant, a really good player for us, 10-year veteran, African-American guy. Really, really, I love him to death, a real pro. And our starting linebacker, Sean Lee, got hurt. And so Justin has to play a lot more than he typically would. And Justin, one of the things that I do with our players is when they come off the field, I try to look at them. I try to almost look everybody in the eye, see kind of where they are in the game. And if guy needs a little encouragement, encourage him, hey, keep it going, you know, just have this interaction. And Justin Durant is playing linebacker for us and doing a great job. He's making a lot of plays. He's making a lot of tackles. But as he's coming off the field, he's blank. Devoid of any emotion. He's just like this.
Which presumably is not normal, right?
It's just not normal at all. I mean, he makes this great tackle, comes off the field, head down. I'm like, this ain't good. So try to connect with him, try to interact with him. He's just... And so this goes on. We win the game. We fly back. I see him the next day. He's like this. He just ain't right. And so finally, a couple of days later, I'm like, hey, Justin, come on, let's visit. Let's visit. Tell me what's going on here. You're not yourself. He said, Coach, this has been hard on me. This has been really hard. I'm like, what do you mean? This whole kneeling thing? So my dad was a Marine for 25 years. He and I talked 2 weeks ago that I was gonna kneel. I was going to kneel. He fought for our country, and he comes back, and he still feels this inequality, these inequities that we're dealing with. And it's your job, your privilege to be in the position you are, to have the platform. I want you to kneel. I told him I was going to kneel. And then we got together as a team, and he didn't kneel. I said, what'd your dad say when you talked to him? Granted, Justin's 31 years old, a grown man. He says, Coach, I haven't been able to call him. Wow. I haven't been able to talk to him. I got to try to figure this out. I really don't know what to do. And so he wasn't the same guy the rest of the year, and he retired after the season.
Wow.
Ooh.
Justin Durant feeling that pressure that every individual probably did, and he could not talk to his dad after his dad said, I want you to kneel. I fought. I represented. I want you to do this. And Durant did not do it. Retired after the season.
It's a very powerful story because to most people that saw everything that happened, because it's not as prevalent now of a story as it was during the Kaepernick era. But when you hear this kind of story, it totally kind of changes your view. Because at the time, a lot of popular opinion was like, hey, here's another black guy kneeling because a cop shot a black man. But now you're actually hearing a story of how it's affecting a player and his relationship with his family and what he has to deal with internally. That's a very powerful story from Jason Garrett.
I just love hearing Garrett like that. It's different. It's unfiltered. It's authentic. It's genuine. That's why he's able to lead these guys. We've never come in here on a Monday after a game. Never. And said
not a once.
They quit. They quit on him. Behind prehistoric, old, stale X's and O's. Like, give it over to Kellen Moore. Give it over to someone else years ago. Not the offensive genius he was built up as when the Cowboys promoted him. But that's why Jason Garrett is still the head coach. So I thought that was really good stuff from Princeton and his sit-down a couple weeks ago.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.